Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Rob Foster, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Navy. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Jimmy Norcross. Rob, I talk to many of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us how you're leveraging partnerships to improve operations and outcome, and to what extent can collaboration and partnerships drive innovation?
Outstanding. So one of the books I referenced previously was Collaboration. My experience across three departments, in this case, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, and then the Department of Defense, is I've never met anybody unwilling on a federal government side to share with you. So I think one of our challenges would be, do we have a robust network as executives? I think that's important. And I think that network should be diverse. It should not be monolithic. So that would be a question. I think the other thing that's out there is I've also done a lot of industry outreach, and that's another one I think that's very important, whether that's at Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, or now at Department of Defense. I've never met one large organization, and I'm talking Fortune 50, company that won't open their doors, sit down with you and explain how they've done their cybersecurity in many instances and how they've organized and constructed their methodology for application deployment. Because we're a non-threat. We are not a competitor. And so I think there's another opportunity, because if a Fortune 50 company is willing and operating the way that we would like to be, there's a lot of things we could learn from that in the IT space. So just, you know, a couple of examples there that I think we could look on. I've used a FOIA Online, which we've designated as the Department of Navy tool that came from the EPA. Multiple departments are using that now for, again, Freedom of Information Act, FOIA Online. So that's a big deal. I've reached out to NASA on some mobility. I've worked with DHS on cybersecurity workforce and some of the things that they've developed. So once you connect your team, it's amazing how much information gets shared. I just think that there's, in my words and back into the collaboration book, there's a potential discussion of what's called a starved network. And I think executives' job is to connect the dots, open them, and expose that network. And then again, as I said, empower your people to and trust them to go out and work together.
Information technology obviously plays a critical role in the mission and program delivery. In your view, how has the role of the CIO evolved into one of a trusted advisor? And what are the characteristics of a successful CIO from your experience?
Sure. So I think from a CIO perspective, and again, just having the visibility across law enforcement, healthcare, and Department of Defense, I think a couple of things are critical. One, you have to have your technical expertise. I got that. You need that. But if you're talking to a mission owner in technical speak, you've completely lost them. So the most important aspect is to know their business. Know, in my opinion, maybe their sticking points or hurdles that you have to help them overcome. And then not bog them down with any of the technical discussions. Take that out of the room and just keep going back and talking mission opportunity, talking in mission terms. And that's, I think, a key ingredient. So that's understanding the business and understanding, you know, how that business works in the government is critical. Technical understanding of, you know, solution delivery, I think that's important. And then if you look at the ECQs, this is kind of, it's not a plug for the ECQs, but, you know, you do have to have some experience in leading change because nothing's easy. You have to understand the business, as I talked about. Leading people, you can't get there by yourself. We've discussed that. You have to have some level of doing results and delivering those results because nobody's paying you to just talk about it. And the last one, I think, and this is very important, is that building of coalition. So if you have a partner that trusts you, then you have a seat at the table. And then you're going to be brought to bear as a value proposition, not as a cost center. And I think that's critical. And then you have to look back in the CIO's position and say, how do I achieve success? I think you need to have an acquisition professional that's your partner. You've got to have a finance and a CFO that's your partner. The CXO suite has to be aligned to support the business, because if anything's out of alignment, the mission will be less served.
So, Rob, turning to the future, what do you hope to or want to achieve in the next, say, year or so? And how do you identify promising trends and developments?
Absolutely. So as it relates to workforce, I think workforce excellence is a key issue. We've talked about, you know, people, process, and technology. I agree that technology is an industry issue, and we can leverage a lot of that. But the people is predominantly ours, and we need to work on that. So I think workforce excellence is a big deal. Recruit, retrain, and reward. That's one. I think lightweight governance is critical. I don't like overburdensome governance, and I don't like multiple layers of governance, but I think you have to have governance at some level for visibility and to ask the right questions. Again, cybersecurity management, I think that's a big deal, and we need to have the right policies and doctrine in place. Maybe remove some that are there that are maybe not as beneficial to the current process. Information management, I think that's a big deal, and we have to have information sharing under that umbrella. We have to know where the data is, how the data is moved, and then what we can do with that data when it is exposed. And then technology innovation, which we talked a little bit about with mobility, I think that's critical. I think there's a lot more innovation out there that once you – it's kind of a geometric discussion as opposed to a linear. And if I go logarithmic and I say, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but if I take that first step, is it going to go vertical on me? And I think the answer is yes. With Internet of Things and you look around, all we need to do is get this domino to start falling, and I think it's going to take care of itself with innovation. But we can't let it go, again, outside the security realm. We've got to have the process such that it works very rapidly with a low security threat.
So, Rob, would you tell us about the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA? How is the Navy working in that direction to the requirements, and what are some of the challenges you're facing?
Sure. So I think if you break FITARA down into its components, there's some things in there that were already declared. So, for instance, federal data center consolidation is under FITARA, but we've already talked about that being worked for many years. If you really, I think, get to where the rubber meets the road, is there's one area that I think is somewhat of a change, and that's the CIO authorities line. And the CIO authorities line, if you deconstruct it, it says things along the lines of all acquisitions that are IT acquisitions will be approved by the chief information officer. So the question is what is all, what's your threshold, and what's your volume and capacity to do that in an accurate manner? So that's something that needs to be worked through. The other one would be the budget has to be reviewed and approved by the CIO. So, again, what does that mean, and what does that change in the CFO lane? Previously, what does that change in the procurement process, time-to-market type discussions? I think the third component of the stool would be of the leg of the stool would be the CIO is, the hiring authority for all CIOs throughout that organization. So that would be now treading in potentially into the chief human capital officers area. So it all makes a lot of sense. It all has good business to it. The question is if you have your CXOs aligned, as I discussed earlier, to support the mission, I think you have a higher chance of getting a better outcome with FITARA. And there's not that they aren't aligned. I just think that they've operated in their own areas, mm-hmm. and the dependencies have been more along the lines of transactional potentially and maybe some level of a process. But if you put them all under that FITARA umbrella, there's areas for process reengineering potentially.
Great. I found it interesting throughout your conversation that you've worked in the federal civilian arm in the CIO shop. So where I'm going is, what's the differences and complementarities between being in the federal civilian CIO shop and leading one in the armed forces?
So I would suggest there's a lot of difference between law enforcement, healthcare, and Department of Defense. So even within the civilian side of the house, there are significant differences, right? And I think, culture, everybody throws that out there, but it is a significant thing you have to understand, because when you're talking terms of mission, mm-hmm. A scientist and a physician has a different view and a different perspective than does a senior investigative agent that does or does not have the same as possibly a general in the field. So I think the first piece of understanding is, what is the mission, what is the culture of those that operate in that mission, and how do you map back to supporting that mission? Because cultural boundaries, it's not that you want to challenge them, you want to understand them. And I think that's an important aspect. The other piece, I think, is potentially, and I don't know if op tempo is the right word, but I think there is a expectation of time and urgency. So when you're in a maybe an operational aspect and then you're in a research aspect, I would suggest to you, you have a different time frame. And then I think the data would be another discussion point. So an example might be a researcher wants to share their information because they're maybe potentially interested in not sharing it outside because they want to get credit for what they've done, but they want to get input from their research cadre. A law enforcement may or may not want to share that information, and Department of Defense may or may not want to share that information. So back to the earlier discussion, I think you have to understand the culture, you have to understand the mission, you have to understand what they're using that data for, and then discuss in the stratifications of the layers of security of data, how that data can be exposed or not, how it can be shared or not, and then lastly, if exposed, how can it be aggregated to a negative effect? So it may seem like this information is all fine and dandy and it's got, you know, unclass, but after about 4 or 5 or 10 different unclass activities, can I now draw a picture of something that could be used by the adversary to possibly target my forces, target my officers, or maybe, you know, change some discussions in the healthcare? So I think data is a key element here. Culture is a key element. Operational tempo is a key element. Those are the kind of visibilities that I've seen going from department to department.
That's a terrific perspective. So what advice would you give someone who is considering a career in public service?
Outstanding. I love this question. I really think that this is something to the heart of service. And, you know, just in my own ideas, the reason I went from uniform to civil servant is because I did want to lead, shape, and manage. And I would suggest to you, in the federal government, everybody is a leader. And I think as we become more technology savvy, I think we're going to be a flatter organization. Some people might not think so, but I think that data is going to spur innovation. But I think if I were to give kind of a primer, the first thing I'd say is, you know, to take the individual and map their passion, whatever drives them in the morning to get up, to the department, the federal agency that has that mission. So what is my passion? If my passion is healthcare, then I would look at Department of Health and Human Services. So I think that would be something to think about, is mapping your passion to the department. Then I'd, quite frankly, you know, the next step would be conduct informational interviews. And I've never met a federal employee that doesn't love to tell you about their job. So you set up your informational interviews with that agency that drives your passions. Then I'd read all the open sources I could. Those are speeches that are out there from the director. Those are the websites associated, and get a feel for what exactly the organization does. If you're going to go in the federal government, you have to use USA Jobs. That's one of the key portals to get in there. So I'd go to USA Jobs. I'd set up account. I'd go ahead and build my resume. I'd put in whatever documents are necessary that USA Jobs requires. I definitely would set up what's called an intelligent agent. The intelligent agent on USA Jobs can search location, jobs, direct department, things like that. And you can have those sent to you weekly, daily. And now you've got a picture of what's happening. And then, you know, lastly, if all of those things align, I'd be applying. And I think that would be my roadmap to somebody that wants to be in the federal government. It's a wonderful career. It doesn't have to be, you know, the same job. I've done 3 departments in 10 years. So you can move around, but I think what happens is a lot of people might not be interested in the federal government because the hurdles, the barriers to entry are somewhat challenging, But if you follow what I just described, I think it'll set you up for success.
That is probably the best practical advice I've heard since I've asked this question, to be honest. I mean, that's a wonderful roadmap to how to actually use some of these resources.
Yeah, well, I love what I do, and I think everyone around me loves their job, and it's a great mission. And I find passion everywhere I go. I think you want to direct that passion towards mission delivery.
Rob, that's terrific advice. I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, Jimmy and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it, gentlemen.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Rob Foster, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Navy. My co-host from IBM has been Jimmy Norcross. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.